If you haven't got to meet Pete, be sure and do that. And Keith, you can read in the program about Keith, but Keith's been priest for 16 years at Hendersonville, and now is one of the only people you will find that is in full-time evangelistic work, going around just doing revivals and gospel meetings. And so Keith lives in the Nashville area. He's one of my favorite speakers. And Keith loves to preach. I will never forget when I was down in Lexington about 12, 13 years ago. I met you at a gas station. And I said, was talking to him, and he gave me a sermon or something up tape. And Keith said this quote. He said, if I had 100 lives, I'd be a preacher in every one of them. And that kind of zeal for preaching comes out in his message. And Keith also loves families. Keith is significant in our family because he helped and kept the romance alive and helped arrange a relationship between Wesley Hayes and Ashley. And so that was a blessing to us. And Keith has two daughters as well. And one of them is married to Andy Frizzell. And they are working in youth ministry. And another, Jessica, is married to a missionary and works in Tanzania, Africa. And so we present to you Keith Parker.
Josh, thank you. How was dinner, folks? Huh? Wow. Have you noticed in Churches of Christ we like to eat, huh? You know, I was here at this church 3 years ago at a senior rally. You guys ever heard of a senior rally? We have youth rallies. We had a senior rally here, I think, in 2010. We were eating on that occasion. We have eaten tonight. We really like to eat in Churches of Christ. I'm reminded of that little third grade class. They were going through a cafeteria line at school. They attended a religious school, and they came to a plate of apples, and one of the teachers at this school had written a note and put this note on the apples, and the note said, "Take only one, God is watching." Well, they went on down the line. They came to a big old plate of chocolate chip cookies, and a little third grade boy had written a note and placed this note under the cookies, and the note said, "Take all you want, God is watching the apples." And that's kind of the way that we are. We want what we want, and we want all that we want. Great meal tonight, and thank you for being here. Now, we have my son, Pete. Hey, Pete. He's cold. He's always cold. He's 31. He's not married. And we have this couple down here that's engaged, right? You guys are not married yet. Be getting married. Any other unmarried people here tonight? How many married folks do we have? Everybody else married, huh? How many of you do not know? Do we have any perfect marriages among us? If you have a perfect marriage, would you stand up? I said stand up, not. I said that some time ago to an audience of about 1,500. I said, "How many of you have a perfect marriage? If you have a perfect marriage, would you stand up?" And there was a guy in the audience. He didn't just raise his hand; he stood. His wife didn't stand, but he stood. I heard about a guy that had a perfect marriage until he got back from his honeymoon. You know, life can begin to happen after the honeymoon, right? And one day the new bride did something that he did not like, and he said to his new bride, "That was dumb." You ever heard that, girls, ladies? He said, "That was dumb with a capital D. How could anybody so beautiful be so dumb?" And she said, "God made me that way." He said, "What?" She said, "God made me that way. God made me beautiful so you would be interested in me. God made me dumb so I would be interested in you." Well, I'll be honest with you, folks. I don't have a perfect marriage. I've been married for 36 years. 36 years. And in 36 years, my wife and I have had a few fights. You have a fuss and fight at home? That was my son, Pete. Pete, don't be telling our secrets, okay? For the first few years of his life, we tried to get him to talk. Now we're trying to get him to be quiet, huh? Let's just be honest, folks. All of us fuss and fight occasionally, don't we? I mean, if you walk up to me tonight and you say, "Now, Brother Keith, I've been married for 21 years, and in 21 years, we have never had a single fight," I'm going to look at you and I'm going to say, "Brother, I love you, but you need to repent." I mean, like married couples do fuss and fight. And these fusses and fights come in all shapes and sizes and colors and forms. Sometimes it's name calling. You're a slob. You're lazy. Name calling. Sometimes it's a shouting match. I told you once, and I don't want to tell you again. You don't have to tell me again. Don't you raise your voice at me. A shouting match. Sometimes it's a pouting exhibition. You don't fuss and fight verbally. You don't fuss and fight vocally. You just kind of clam up, kind of like this guy right here. Clam up. You're not getting close to me. Just kind of a pouting exhibition. Sometimes it's a boxing match. I'm in a knockdown, drag out fight. Married couples do that. And sometimes these fusses and fights lead to what we commonly call divorce. Back in 1974, 1975, I was a kid preacher just in high school. And at the time, if I preached on the home and the family, I would get up and I would say something like, you know, one out of every four marriages ends in divorce. 25% of all marriages die. That was 1974, 1975. Well, I went on to college, graduated in 1979. I moved to Missouri, started preaching for the church that Gene grew up in. Started preaching for a little church in southeast Missouri. And at the time, if I preached on the home and the family, I would get up and I would say, you know, one out of every three marriages ends in divorce. 33% of all marriages die. That was the early 1980s, 1981, 1982, 1983. Here it is, 30 years later. And those who study this tell us that out of every 100 marriages, about 50 of them end in divorce. About 50% of all marriages die. Let me tell you what that means in a very practical sense. If you have this many kiddos, four, in all likelihood, two of them will end up getting a divorce. If you have two children, in all likelihood, one of them will end up in divorce court. And yet God said, I hate it. He did say that, didn't he? Our Father. God said, I hate putting away. I hate divorce. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16. Now I realize in an audience of this size, some of you have been there. You've gone through the awful agony of divorce. And I don't have to get up here and scream at you. You know how badly it hurts. You know how painful it is. And I've had divorced people say to me, Keith, it's worse than losing a mate to death. It really hurts. And because God loves you, God says, I want you to know, I hate putting away. I hate divorce. And because God loves you, he says, I want you to have happy homes. I want you to have fantastic families. I want you to have marvelous marriages. I want you to keep the romance alive. You say, Brother Keith, we have a good home, but my home could be better. How could it be better? I have a good marriage, but my marriage could be stronger. How could it be stronger? Well, what I want to do for a few minutes tonight, to pursue the theme, to pursue the lesson, keeping the romance alive. What I want to do, I want to share with you some bricks that will build a happy home. A few years ago, my wife and I built a brand new house. It took a lot of bricks to build that house. And what's true with building a house is also true with building a happy home. It takes a lot of bricks to build a happy home and a marvelous marriage and a fantastic family. So, a few bricks that will build a happy home. You ready for number one? Brick number one is this one. It's the brick of concern. Concern. Now, we're concerned about a number of things, aren't we? Name something you're concerned about.
Your car.
My car. Yeah, we're concerned about our cars, right? We're concerned about our cars. So what do? When it snows, we take them through a car wash after it dries out a little bit. We wash it. We wax it. What else are you concerned about? Our kids, just our children. How do we raise our kiddos? I have three, by the way. I tell people that I have three handicapped kids, but two of them don't know it, okay? I have one handicapped kid and two girls, and they're as normal as most of us, but I say all three of them are handicapped, just two of them don't know it, right? But we're concerned about our kids. What else are we concerned about? Money, finances, we're concerned about. Maybe the house we live in, so we clean it, we paint it. Maybe you're concerned about your body, so what do? You exercise? You go on a diet? Is there anybody in this audience that's on a diet? You kidding me? Nobody? Are you serious? Not tonight, huh? How many of you need to be on a diet, huh? Yeah, buddy, get those hands up. I heard about a woman that was on a diet, a rather huge lady. And every morning she would get up and step on the scales to weigh. She would check her weight every day. She would stay, get up in the morning and weigh on those scales. And when she weighed, she would hold her pet cat, her tomcat. And if she looked down and noticed that she had gained a pound, she would starve the cat. That's my kind of diet. You know, I like that diet. But we go on diets. Why? Because we're concerned about our bodies. And you know what's true with our bodies and money and our kids and our cars and our houses? It's true with our homes and our families and our marriages. Folks, happy homes don't just happen. You can't just stand back and say, man, I wish that I had a marvelous marriage, because marvelous marriages don't just happen. You've got to be thinking about them and talking about them. And you've got to be praying about them. You've got to go to God and say, God, what kind of husband do you want me to be? What kind of father do you want me to be? What kind of mom, what kind of wife do you want me to be? What kind of son, what kind of daughter do you want me to be? You've got to spend some time reading good books, listening to good lessons, coming to events like tonight. Wow, what a night. What a night. Thank this church. Thank the leadership of this church for having a night like tonight, where we get together and talk about the home and the family. See, you've got to be concerned, truly concerned. I tell people all across America that if you can only save one thing, save your soul. Save your soul. As Josh mentioned a few minutes ago, for 16 and a half years I preached at the Hendersonville Church. Now I'm in revival, evangelistic work. I travel from California to the Carolinas just preaching. And I tell people all across America, if you can only save one thing, save your soul. I think about what Jesus said in Matthew 16:26. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So if you need to be baptized, be baptized. If you need to come back to the Lord, come back to the Lord. If you need to get fired up for Jesus, get fired up for Christ. Save your soul. But if you can save your soul and something else, save your home. Save your family. Save your marriage. Think about it. What's more important than your home? Is it the job? Really, is it making money, the 9-to-5? Is it your hobby, hunting or fishing or playing golf? What's more important than your marriage? But to save your marriage, you've got to be truly concerned, thinking about it, talking about it, praying about it, changing. Concerned enough to change. Lord, change me. And that's brick number one. You ready for number two? Keeping the romance alive. Brick number two is this one. It's the brick of charity. Charity. Now, I mentioned to you charity. What do you think of, gang? What's charity? I'm not talking about a handout, a freebie, a giveaway. What's charity? And now by faith, hope, love, these three, and the greatest of these is... Do you realize that almost every time you read about marriage in the Bible, directly or indirectly, you read about the thing called love? Just about every time you read about marriage in the Bible, directly or indirectly, you read about love. To illustrate, Deuteronomy 24:5. If you're taking notes, that's Deuteronomy 24:5. Moses said, if a man has recently married, who did we give the prize to a few minutes ago? The youngest. You guys, Wesley? You guys, how long have you guys been married? 8 months. Since June, was it June the 1st for you guys too? Okay, June the 1st. What's your name? Matt. If a man has recently married, he shall not go out to war. Don't go to the Middle East. But he shall stay at home 1 year. The lawgiver said, stay at home 1 year. Stay at home 1 year. And I like my mother's Bible, Matt. My mother's Bible, the old King James says, don't go to war. Stay at home 1 year, and he shall, my mother's Bible says, he shall cheer up his wife. What's your wife's name? Lindsay. Matt and Lindsay. Matt, don't go to war. Stay at home 1 year, and he shall what? He shall cheer up his wife. Fellas, to the men of this audience, men, your primary responsibility as a husband is to cheer up your wife. And I can tell, we have some women in this audience who need to be cheered up, okay? But that's what love is all about. That's what love is all about. Cheering up each other, right? I love the wise man. The wise man said in Proverbs 15:17. Better is a dinner of vegetables where there is love than a stalled ox, a fattened calf, with hatred. What does that mean? Let me put it to you in cornbread language, okay? A cornbread translation. It would be better to sit down to turnip greens and spinach. That's kind of the way that I feel about turnip greens and spinach, Pete. I don't like turnip greens and spinach. But it would be better to sit down to turnip greens and spinach and have love. Be smiling and talking and laughing and communicating at the dinner table than a fattened calf. What is that? A T-bone steak. It'd be better to sit down to turnip greens and spinach and have love than to sit down to big old juicy T-bone steak and be fussing and fighting. Now, personally, I'd rather have the T-bone steak. But the wise man said, better is a dinner of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf, a stalled ox with hatred. You say, preacher, that's Old Testament. We're not Old Testament people, we're New Testament people. Let me give you some New Testament, okay? You want some New Testament? Here it is, Titus chapter 2. Paul said, you older women. We have some older women in this group tonight. You older women, you teach these younger women. We have some young women in this audience tonight. You older women, you teach these young women to what? Love their husbands and to love their kiddos. Now, ladies, notice who comes first in the text. Notice who comes first in Scripture. Is it the husband or the kids? I thought I asked you a question. Paul said, you older women, you teach these young women to love their husbands, right? Husbands first, and to love their children. Ladies, the greatest gift you can give your children, with the exception of getting them to heaven, is to love their daddy. Love your husband. Love their daddy. The greatest gift you can give your kids. And men, to the men of this audience, men, the greatest gift you can give your children, with the exception of getting them to heaven, is to love their mother. See, our kids need to grow up in a home where mama loves daddy and daddy loves mama. So you older women, you teach these young women to love their husbands and to love their kiddos. I think about Ephesians chapter 5. Usually when we go to Ephesians chapter 5 to talk about marriage, you know where we usually begin? Does anybody know the verse? Think about Ephesians 5. When we talk about the husband and wife relationship, what verse do we usually start with? Say it again. Submission, Josh. That's verse 22. Wives, submit. Have you read verse 21 lately? Ephesians 5:21. You know what it says? Paul says, submitting yourselves one to another. One to another in the fear of God. Let me confess something to you, folks. Sometimes in our relationship, in our home, I'm the coach. And Sandra, my wife, is the quarterback, okay? I'm the coach, she's the quarterback. There are times that she's the coach, and I'm the quarterback. See, marriage is a give and take relationship. You give a little bit, you take a little bit, you surrender here, you surrender there. And Paul said, you submit to one another. And then Paul says, ladies, here's the way you can show your love in the home. Ladies, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Here's the reason. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Let me ask you a question, ladies. Ladies, who's in charge of this church, the Seven Oaks Church? Who's the head of this church? Josh? How many of you believe that Josh is the head of this church? The elders are in charge, right? The elders are in charge. The elders are the head of the church, right? Oh, no. His name's on the sign. Do you notice the sign out front? Church of Christ. Do you notice that? And is this church surrenders to Jesus. Ladies, the way you can show your love in the home, surrender to your husband. Submit to your husband, ladies. And we men are thinking, boy, this is good stuff. Straighten these women out. And I can almost hear some of the men of this audience saying, preach it to them, Paul. Preach it to them, Paul. Preach it to them, Paul. Paul says, now, wait a minute, guys. I have a message for you, too. Listen up. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wife. Love your wife. That's what tonight's all about. Love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Let me ask the men of this audience. Men, did Christ love the church? Died for the church, right? Bled for the church. And Paul said, now, Keith, you love Sandra just like Christ loved the church. He goes on to say, Ephesians 5, verse 28, salt men to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Everybody look up here, folks. Everybody look. Do you see this body? This body. This 6'3", 200-pound body. You see this body? I love this body. I love this body. I feed this body. I clothe this body. I exercise this body. And Paul said, now, Keith, just like you love yourself, you love your wife. He goes on to say, Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, boys and girls, teenagers, obey your parents of the Lord. This is right. That's the way you can show your love in the home. And on, Paul goes in Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6, talking about mama loving daddy, daddy loving mama, husbands loving wives, wives loving husbands. He's talking about parents loving kiddos, kiddos loving mom and dad. And I'm saying to you, if you want a happy home and a marvelous marriage, build it with love. Who can give me a good definition of love? What is love? Love. What about it, fellas? What's love? I'm going to be talking about that question tomorrow night in this church. The greatest command. We're going to be talking more about love tomorrow night. If you're not going to church tomorrow night, come here. Talk to us about love tomorrow night. But what is love? Who can give me a good workable definition of love? Oh, come on. Well, that's good. Put somebody before yourself. Just practice the golden rule. Treat others. Treat your wife like you want your wife to treat you. We call that the golden rule. Do to others you would have them do to you. Put your wife before yourself. That's good. We'll talk more about that tomorrow night. Build your home with love. You ready for number three? Brick number three is this one. Keeping the romance alive. Brick number three is compliments. And by compliments, I simply mean you need to spend more time bragging on one another and less time criticizing each other. You like to be bragged on, huh? How many of you really enjoy being bragged on? Me? Well, I like being bragged on. Sure I do. You like being bragged on? Ladies, how would you feel if some of these men walked up and said, I like your dress. Your hair is pretty. I like your hair. You look nice tonight. Would you like that, ladies? These ladies are embarrassed. I ain't going to raise my hand. Tell me I'm ugly. No, you don't want to. You like being bragged on. Do you realize it takes about 7 compliments to offset 1 negative criticism? 7 positives to offset 1 negative. Let me illustrate what I'm talking about. I get through tonight, and I go back and sit with my dear friends, Bill and Ramona. And maybe it's over after it's over with. Maybe let's say 4 or 5 of you walk by and say, hey, good talk. Enjoyed that speech. That's a blessing in my life. And then somebody comes over and says, ha, waste of time. Sorriest talk I've ever heard in my life. You know what I'm going to do, folks? I'm going to go away tonight thinking about that sorry speech that I've just given. It takes about 7 compliments to offset 1 negative criticism. And I'm saying if you want a happy home, a marvelous marriage, you've got to build it with compliments. It's biblical. Let me throw some Bible on you, okay? It's not even Sunday. It's Saturday. And I'll give you some Bible, okay? Ephesians 4, verse 29. The book says, Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. What does that mean? Don't cuss. Don't use God's name in vain. Don't tell dirty jokes. Don't tell smutty stories. Don't blast and belittle. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But, see, first of all, he tells us what not to do. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But, let me tell you what you ought to do. But, he says, that which is good. That which is good to the use of edifying. What does that mean? Build each other up. Say to that wife, honey, you've never looked better in your life. Say to your husband, ladies, say to your husband, honey, you're my superstar. You're my hero. You have kids, say to those kids, hey, we love you. We're proud of you. You know what's amazing to me? It's amazing to me we do a better job bragging on strangers than we do bragging on home folks. Think about it. We do a better job bragging on people that we do not know than we do bragging on people that we live with. To illustrate what I'm talking about, you go out to eat after church tomorrow. There was a sign, I think, close by. Do you have a Cracker Barrel close by? Murray, how far is Murray? Okay, maybe drive. Let's go to Cracker Barrel. You go to Cracker Barrel for lunch tomorrow, okay? And you sit down, and here comes this waitress. You've never seen her. She's a stranger. She comes bouncing out there, and this waitress, she has long, flowing, beautiful black hair under each arm. You know, she's a sight. She comes bouncing out there. May I take your order? And you order. And she brings it to you, and you start eating. Oh, this is good. This hits the spot. How is it? Oh, this is very good. Would you like a little bit more tea? Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you. We at least say thank you, right? Would you like some more Coke? Thank you. We say thank you. And then we get up to leave, and what do? We reach into our billfolds, and we pull out that dollar compliment, right? $2 compliment, that $10 compliment, right? I mean, you at least tip the waitress, right? The stranger at Cracker Barrel. And then maybe the next day you go home and your wife fixes that favorite meal. Fellas, she fixes your favorite meal. Maybe it's fried chicken. Maybe it's hot dogs. Maybe it's roast beef and carrots and potatoes. You know, she fixes that favorite meal. And what do we say, fellas? What do we say? Pass the salt. Or what about this one? Ladies, you ever heard this one? Honey, where did you get the meat? You ever been asked that? You know, she's worked 3 or 4 hours for that meal. And, you know, you take a big old bite of it, and you start eating. You look up and you say to your wife, honey, where'd you get the meat? And, you know, your wife's sitting there thinking, oh, he doesn't like it. So you ask him, honey, sweetheart, what's wrong with the meat? Well, I'm not saying something's wrong with it. I'm just asking, where did you get the meat? Well, if you don't like it, you don't have to eat. I'm not saying it all. And on we go, fussing and fighting and griping and grumbling. And I'm telling you, folks, your home can be better. It really can be better. If you build your home with compliments, be a lot more positive than you are negative. You ready for number four? Pete's just speaking for all of us. He wants me to hurry. I know you do too, so. Nothing like honesty. Courtship, romance. By courtship, I simply mean whatever brought you together will keep you together. Courtship. What brought you together? Been a long time for some of you, hasn't it? Where are the 60-plus year married folks? You've been married 60-plus years. Wow. Wow, what an example. Thank you. I heard about a couple been married for 60-plus years. Do you guys remember what brought you together? Been a long time. 60, that's a long time. 60 years. Do you remember what brought you together? Heard about a couple. They've been married for 60-plus years. Lights were out. They were in bed one night. And the wife leaned over and said to the husband, sweetheart, why don't you scoot over on my side of the bed and nibble on my ear like you used to? It woke him up. He said, what'd you say? She said, don't you remember when you used to scoot over on my side of the bed and just nibble on my ear? Why don't you do that? Come over on my side and nibble on my ear like you used to. He said, I don't want to. She said, oh, sweetheart, come on. Come on. He said, okay, hand me my teeth off the nightstand. I'll nibble on your ear. It's been a long time for some of us, right? But whatever brought you together will keep you together. Here's what I want to encourage you to do this week. You know what Friday night is? What's Friday night, folks? Valentine's Day, right? Love Day, right? Red Heart Day, right? Hey, before the week is over, starting tomorrow, Sunday's the first day of the week, before the week is over, do something special for your mate. Send her a note, a little love letter. It'd be nice, wouldn't it, ladies? A little card. Fellas, get off of your billfold and send her some flowers. A little rose from Walmart. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Little flower. Wouldn't that be nice, ladies? Hey, ladies, buy him a candy bar. A candy bar. a Hershey's candy bar. That'd be nice. I got an idea. For Valentine's weekend, hey, for Valentine's next Friday, fellas, surprise her. Take her to Gatlinburg. Huh? Let her shop. Let her shop until she drops. Let her buy some of those good old Smoky Mountain souvenirs. Made in Hong Kong, okay? Do something nice for one another. And I promise it'll be a blessing to your marriage. You say, Keith, I want a better marriage. How can I have a better marriage? Well, it starts with concern. Concern leads to charity, love. Love leads to compliments. And then courtship. You ready for number five? Brick number five is this one. The brick of communication. 86% of all troubled marriages, lack of communication, or poor communication. Even those of us who've been married for 36 years need to learn how to communicate a little bit better. So what I want to do, are you in a hurry? Do you need to get home? I tell you what I want to do. Just for a few minutes, I want to share with you some principles for better communication in the home, okay? And I want to share these principles from the greatest book in the world on communication. You know what the greatest book in the world on communication is? It's the book of Proverbs. By the way, the greatest book on finances is the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot to say about a lot of stuff, our marriages. So let me just take the time to share with you some principles for better communication in the home. And I'll give you the principle, I'll give you the verse, and then we'll just move right through these, okay? But you might want to write them down. You don't have your Bible, but let me just read the verse. I'll read the verse, I'll give you the principle, and then we'll just kind of move through these quickly, okay? But we start in Proverbs chapter 3. Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. That's the verse. Here's what the verse says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean upon your own understanding. Principle number one is this. Try to remember at least four of these, okay? There are about six or seven of them, but just try to remember three or four of them. This is a biggie. If you want better communication in the home, number one, communicate to God as a family, as a husband and wife. Trust in the Lord. Communicate. It's kind of like a triangle. God at the top, the husband and the wife at the base, wife here, husband here, God up there. The closer the husband and wife are getting to God, guess what? The closer they're getting to God, the closer they're getting to one another. Families that, let me start it and you finish it, okay? I'll start and you finish. Families that pray together. That's not a little trite statement. That's a true statement, folks. I don't know of anything that will bless your communication any better than communicate to God. Pray together. Read the Bible together. Listen to God's voice together in the home, okay? Have home devotionals. Communicate to God. That's number one. You ready for number two? Number two, Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 5 and verse 18. Here's the verse. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant row. Let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be ravished always with her love. Here's principle number two. Say I love you physically. Say I love you sexually. Psychologists say that we've got to get in our hugs, our touches. Folks, it takes four hugs every day for survival. Just to survive. It takes eight, count them, eight hugs every day for maintenance. It takes 12 hugs every day for growth. Four for survival, eight for maintenance, 12 for growth. Are you growing in your relationships at all? You got to get in those hugs. Sometimes they are sexual hugs, but many times they are non-sexual hugs. Say I love you physically. That's principle number two. You ready for number three? Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Listen to it. Just listen. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. What does that mean? There's going to be sin if you just talk. Yeah. Chat. If you just keep on talking, there's going to be sin. But anybody that refrains his lips is wise. Here's what he's saying. Write it down.
think about it. Principle number three, learn to be quiet. Learn to be quiet. There are times that the best answer is silence. Sometimes the best response is a no response. If you just keep on talking and chatting and communicating, there's going to be sin. So learn to be quiet. That's number three. You ready for number four? Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A soft answer turns away anger, but harsh words stir up anger. Here's principle number four. Watch what you say, and especially how you say it. Watch what you say, and especially how you say it. Do you realize, folks, you can say the same thing in different ways and come up with different meanings? To illustrate, just take the words, the statement, I didn't say she stole the money. I didn't say she stole the money. Let me say it to you in different ways. I didn't say she stole the money. Well, if you didn't say it, who said it? I didn't say she stole the money. Okay? If you didn't say it, how did you imply it? I didn't say she stole the money. Okay, if she didn't do it, who did it? Who stole the money? I didn't say she stole the money. Okay, if she didn't steal the money, who stole the money? What did she do with the money? What did she do with the money? I didn't say she stole the money. Okay, if she didn't steal the money, what did she steal? See, you can say the same thing, the same words in different ways, different tones, and come up with different meanings. So watch your body language, watch your facial expressions, watch your tones, watch what you say, and especially how you say it. That's number four. You ready for number five? Same chapter, Proverbs 15 and verse 28. Proverbs 15 and verse 28. The wise man said, the heart of the righteous studies to answer. He does what? He studies. He weighs his answers. But the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Principle number five. Think before you speak. Study your answers. Weigh your answers. The heart of the righteous studies to answer. So think before you speak. And folks, just think with me about the word think. T-H-I-N-K. Think. Before saying anything at all. Let the T stand for true. Let the H stand for helpful. Let the I for important. N for necessary. K for kind. Before saying anything at all. Think. Think. Just think. Is it true? What I'm about to say, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it going to be helpful? Is it important? Is it necessary? Do I really have to say it? Is it kind? So study your answers. Think before you speak. Is it true, helpful, important, necessary, and kind? You ready for number six? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. Listen to what the wise man said in chapter 18 and verse 13. Anybody that answers before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame. If you answer before you hear it, it's a folly and a shame. Principle number six is this one. Listen carefully. Listen. It's part of communication. Folks, brothers and sisters, God gave us this many ears and this many tongues. Think about it. Two ears, one tongue. Why two ears and one tongue? Maybe he wants us to listen twice as much as we talk. I was at Freed Hardeman this past week. Josh, your preacher, spoke at Freed Hardeman. And I didn't speak. I was just there to listen. We preachers do too much talking. We just need to listen. So, principle number six, listen and listen carefully. You ready for number seven? We'll be through with this. Hurry. Okay, Pete, I'm hurrying. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. The wise man said, he that covers his sin shall not prosper. If you cover your sins, you won't prosper. But if you confess and you forsake them, you'll have mercy. Here's principle number seven. Principle number seven is, if you mess up, fess up. In other words, learn to say, I'm sorry. Honey, I'm sorry. Sweetheart, it was my fault. I am so sorry. See, if you cover your sins, you won't prosper. But if you confess and if you forsake them, you'll have mercy. So, seven principles for better communication in the home. Who can name some of them for me? Name one. Listen carefully. Another one. Think before you speak. Another one. Communicate to God. Another one. Say, I'm sorry. Okay, very good. Hey, that's four. four out of the seven. Very good. Very good. Okay. Pete, you want me to hurry?
Yeah.
You want to go home?
Yeah.
You want to say amen?
Yeah.
All right. Let's not stop there, though. We can't stop there because we haven't gotten to the very best brick. The very best brick is the last one. Keeping the romance alive, I tell you what you're going to need. You're going to need Christ. Christ. You need to live in a home where Christ is adored and Jesus is talked about. He's real. He's not just somebody we talk about on Sunday. We talk about on Saturday night at the dinner table. We talk about on Thursday night, not just on Wednesday night. We live in a home where the Bible is read. The Word of Christ lives in us richly. Where the Bible is read and prayers are prayed. We need Christ. I want you to meet somebody before we close tonight. Hey, Jesus. Where two or three gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst of that. Hey, Jesus. Jesus, come and tell us who you are.
I am the living bread. John 6:51. I am the light of the world. John 8:12. I am from above. John 8:23. Before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58.
I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. John 10. I am the resurrection of the life. John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. I am the true vine. John 15:1. Maybe you're with us tonight and your heart is hurting. You're bleeding inside emotionally. Maybe your son is on drugs and alcohol. Maybe your daughter has gotten pregnant outside of marriage. Maybe you're on the verge of divorce and you really needed a night like tonight. And you're just thinking, we need help. We need answers. And Jesus steps out from this book and says, hey, I'm the answer. So I close tonight with this question. Honestly, does Jesus live in your home? Does Jesus live in your marriage? Heard about a woman, she was working around the house, and all of a sudden there was a knock at the door. She went to the door and she saw a stranger standing there with a Bible in his hand. The man asked a question. She opened the door and the man said, ma'am, does Jesus live here? That's all he asked. Does Jesus live here? The woman that I'm talking about was a Christian, a member of the church, but she was so taken by that unexpected guest at her door. She didn't know what to say. She didn't know how to answer, what to say. And all day long, she thought about that question. Does Jesus live here? Does Jesus live here? When her husband came in that afternoon, she said, you'll never believe what happened today. I was working around the house, and all of a sudden, there was a guy that showed up at the door. He knocked. I went to the door. He had a Bible in his hand, and he asked me one question. He said, ma'am, does Jesus live here? And she said to her husband, I didn't know what to tell him. Her husband, also a Christian member of the church, said, you didn't know what to tell him? What do you mean you didn't know what to tell him? You should have told him yes. You should have told him we go to church every Sunday. You should have said most Sundays we drop a little money in the plate. You should have shown him our names and pictures in the directory. You should have said, what do you mean you didn't know what to tell him? You should have told him yes. She said, all that's true. We go to church every Sunday. Most of the time on Wednesday nights. Yeah, we do have our names and pictures in the church directory. Most Sundays we drop a little money in. But sweetheart, honey, the man at the door didn't ask those questions. He asked, ma'am, does Jesus live here? And I've been wondering all day if he does. So I'm asking you, honestly, does Jesus live in your home? Keeping the romance alive, you've got to be concerned. You've got to have charity, compliments, courtship, communication. But the biggie, does Jesus live in your home? Wesley and Ashley, you guys stand up. I introduced these guys a few months ago and got married on June the 1st. Is that right? June the 1st. Need counseling by now, right? Man, I'm so proud of these guys. See, I've got a hobby. See, I love to preach. But my hobby is I just go all over the nation meeting sweet girls and nice guys, and I try to get them together. Isn't that neat? And that's what I did with these guys. And they got married, and they're still married. Man, I'm encouraged. Got married June the 1st, still married tonight. Hey, thanks for showing up. Thanks for being here. I'm blessed in your presence. I'm blessed to be here tonight. Josh, every church in America needs to do what you guys did tonight. You need to have a night like tonight. Thank you for letting me come. I really enjoyed it. Looking forward to tomorrow. Thank you for letting me be here. Well, man, I quit 5 minutes early.
We really appreciate Keith coming, and I know that you understand now why we were excited about having him, and of course, he did an excellent job. And let us say, too, that if we can ever help you and your family, that we would be glad to do so, and we love families and know the strains that families often get in, and so don't let trials get too hard and without seeking help. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to do our closing remarks and the drawing. Dear God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for Keith's message. We're so thankful that we can be here this evening. And Father, we're also grateful that we have a spouse and that we can enjoy the privilege of marriage. And Father, we pray that you'll help us to always realize what a blessing it is to be married. And sometimes we can treat it and maybe think of it as if it's a negative thing and as if we have such an obligation. And Father, we realize the duties and responsibilities there within it, but Father, help us to realize the gift and the privilege and the blessing of it. And Father, thank you for the message that Keith has brought us tonight from your word that taught us about these various principles. And help our lives to be changed and help our marriages to be different and help us to be a light in our community and to make a difference for Christ. And Father, help Jesus to live in our homes. And thank you for Keith being here with us. And Pete, and Father, we thank you for this food, and it's or this night, and it's through Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
By way of closing remarks, before we do the drawing and Joel Crowder dismisses us, let me say a couple things. First of all, this evening has been put on by a team of workers led by Denise Woolley, and she did a great job, and Chris helped her as well. With the decorations and the planning, and also the arrangements with Southern Reds Barbecue. And she was aided in that and helped in that by Sherry Anderson and Gloria Beatles and Brenda Wilson. And they did a beautiful job of setting up this room and making it look so nice, and we appreciate them so much doing so. Let's give them a round of applause. We also appreciate Southern Reds for them catering the meal. And tomorrow is our Friends and Family Day. And Keith is going to spend the night tonight, him and Pete, and he's going to be here tomorrow to preach three times. He's going to preach in Bible class at 9:30, and he's going to be dealing with the great questions tomorrow, three great questions. And in the Bible class, it is, do you want to be great? And then the morning service begins at 10:30, and it's the question,
what has Jesus done for you?
What has Jesus done for you? And then tomorrow evening is at 5 o'clock, and it's the question,
which is the greatest command?
So three great questions, and Keith is going to be preaching tomorrow. And we want to have a large attendance, and so bring your friends, bring your family, come be with us. All right, Amanda, you have the basket? If you are visiting with us and you're a guest tonight, please